Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And good Saturday afternoon. Thanks for tuning in to catch another edition of Our Drift. Joining me in studio, Brandon Drake.
Great to be here. And before we get started, I wanted to give a shout out, lovingly hello to my dad and his wonderful girlfriend, June, who are listening on TuneIn Radio.
Oh, well, great. Great to have them aboard. I thought you were going to give me an update on another TMI session that you've been blathering on about all afternoon.
I've been bombarding you with TMIs.
No, I don't want to hear any more of that. Okay, so let's take care of a little business and get this out of the way. If you're looking for some subacute rehabilitation or long-term care, call
Regency.
Wait a minute.
Subacute? Explain. Explain, Lucy.
Rehabilitation terms, dude. All rehabilitation.
Wow.
If you're looking for some subacute rehabilitation or long-term care, hospice, or respite care, call Regency in Whitmore Lake. 734-449-5505. Nice place down the street from my house, actually. So it's a really nice-looking place. They've updated everything. It's really cool.
Sounds like my last girlfriend. She was subacute. She was okay.
Something kind of acute?
Yeah, a little substandard.
Now, these guys are great. They do veterans programs. They have outreach programs. They've got all kinds of life enrichment, and they do they've got a memory care unit. So 734-449-5505. It's part of siennahealthcare.com. So you can check them out. They're in Whitmore Lake. It's Regency. So give them a holler. Okay, so lots to talk about. I'm glad you came in, dude, when you said you were going to come in this week. And I'm like, sweet.
All right. What's on the agenda? What do you got?
Well, let's just start with the debate from Thursday night. You know, Trump said, and we're going to get some phone calls today because you know what? We didn't talk about it last week, and I don't think anybody even listened last week because we didn't talk Trump. I was teasing Ipsy Ed that we didn't talk Trump, so he didn't call in. So we're going to talk a little Trump today, among other things. We're going to talk Hillary, too. It wouldn't be a show without dissing Hillary a little bit, right? But he didn't go to the debate because he was worried that Fox was going to kind of sandbag him or whatever. And I made the prediction that they would hit on Ted Cruz in response, which they did. They hammered Ted Cruz. I don't think his debate performance looked very good at all. Did you watch it?
I did not, but I heard that what you just said and that he did not look good and he wasn't able to overcome. And he tried to make some corny joke about...
Oh, yeah, I didn't watch it. So, number one, I boycotted the Fox News. So, you can call me a Trumpkin if that's what you want to call me. I boycotted because I do believe, if you remember the first Fox debate, they didn't give us anything substantive. They didn't ask about issues and the positions of the candidates on issues. They just went after them and tried to make them fight with each other and embarrass them. And they did the same thing this time, I think. You got a little more information out of it. But you know what? Megyn Kelly actually held a little group of people with trying to put an anti-Trump thing together, you know? And I'm like, what the heck? How can you get away with that? That's not being unbiased when you do that.
One of the things that bothered me, too, with the way it was presented regarding Trump boycotting this debate, the headlines were, you know, Trump, he's a crybaby, he's afraid of Megyn Kelly, that kind of thing. But what bothered me the most is that the headline, Trump wanted $5 million from Fox. Okay, he wanted Fox to donate $5 million to charity. And one reason that he wanted that to happen is because Trump knows, and this is a fact, that the ratings will be much higher if he participates. And he's getting tired of them exploiting his draw and making all this money. And in his mind, abusing him at the same time. So he's saying, hey, I'll show up, but I'm going to dictate some terms here. You're going to give $5 million to charity. What is wrong with that? But the way it was presented was he's a money-grubbing billionaire who wants even more money. He's trying to shake down Fox. Yeah. Give me a break.
Yeah, and the shame of it all is Fox has, in these two Fox Business debates, that one was pretty good. I watched that one in its entirety. It was good. I did not watch this one. I watched the snippets over the last couple of days of this. And, you know, they had, I think, between 23 and 24 million, the first Fox debate, and that was the biggest one ever, whatever.
Which makes sense because it's the first one.
Yeah. Yeah. And this one, they were between 11 and 12, I think. So they lost like over 11 million viewers. Now, answer me this. Does that not kind of dictate that there's 11 or 12 million people who were so fed up, for one reason or another anyways, not necessarily because Trump wasn't there, but 11 million people said, I'm not going to watch it?
Part of it is, you know, after so many debates, people are going to drop off naturally because the whole novelty of it wears off, understandably so. But I think a big chunk of that drop-off had to be because everyone knowing Trump was not going to be there.
Right. Yeah, I mean, if you're on Twitter or social media, Facebook or whatever, you also see these comments. And I tell you what, there was a lot of people who said, I'm not watching Fox News tonight.
It's like watching Two and a Half Men with Ashton Kutcher. It's just not going to work.
It just doesn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched CNN for like 2 or 3 hours that day. And I felt dirty watching CNN for that long. I try to get 5 minutes of that and MSNBC a day, just enough to make me get the willies, and then I'm stopped. But I sat and watched the Donald Trump event to raise money. They raised $6 million. And here's what I told people. I said, whether you like Donald Trump or not, who within a 36-hour period can put together an event that had thousands of people show up and raised $6 million for the vets?
Again, Trump can make it happen. He demonstrated it in that example, and I think that people are drawn to Trump because not only a protest vote, tired with the same old crap that we get every election cycle, but he's a guy, a mover and a shaker, that knows people, that has the charisma, that it loves America. He'll be either the greatest president or a disaster. And I think, like you and I were saying before the show, people are willing to put all the chips on the table and gamble it and say, you know what, I'm going to gamble that he's going to be great.
Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah. Well,
huge.
You know, this show shows you. I mean, we mentioned the word Trump and the phone lines light up.
Exactly.
Right?
So here we go.
Let's take a call from
Jenny.
And this
apprenticeship show, I liked in the beginning, but
I never watched
Celebrity
it.
Apprentice, that was horrible. So it's not like I like Trump because of his stupid show.
Yeah, I never watched any of that crap. All right, let's take a call from Jenny in Brownstown. Jenny, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
What's going on, Jenny?
Number one, I could care less what Trump does. I will vote for him if I have to because anybody but Hillary.
Good job. Good job.
But no, I don't like him, but I will vote for him if I have to. But I am, like, ever since Glenn Beck left Fox, I left.
Yeah, so are you a big Beck fan?
Not on his radio show. I can't stand that because he acts too stupid with his friends.
Kind of like us sometimes, right, Jenny?
Hello.
So, Jenny, so you're going to go with whatever the most conservative, whatever the GOP nominee is, you're going to support him, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. That's all you can ask.
Because I have to. I mean, but no, I don't. I'm sorry. I know one of you at least likes Trump, and I'm sorry about that. That I don't want to be offending anyone.
No, I would take Trump or Cruz. You know, frankly, and Brandon and I were discussing this earlier, but you know, we'll see after Monday. I think we'll tell us who's going to be up there. That's
Jenny. Before you go, let me ask you this. Okay, I know you don't like Trump, but you will vote for him if he wins the nomination.
Yes, I will.
I'm assuming that you like Cruz. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. If Cruz wins the nomination, do you think that he can beat Hillary or Bernie in the general election?
I'm hoping so.
But do you think he will? Based on the demographics, the way the country is, do you think he has the charisma? Do you think he has the drawing power to beat? And I'm not saying that people should vote for Trump because, you know, maybe Cruz can't win the general election. I'm not saying that. But I'm just asking a direct question. Can Cruz beat Hillary or Bernie in the general election? Or Michael Bloomberg, for that sake? Seriously.
I would say I hope so. But I think too many people...
Hope so doesn't sound confident.
They're not looking at Trump the way they should be. I've heard enough sound clips of him, and...
No. Forget Trump. I'm talking about if Ted Cruz is the nominee and he goes up against the Democratic candidate or independent like Bloomberg, who says he will get in if certain conditions apply, are you like very confident that a Ted Cruz can beat a Hillary or Bernie or Bloomberg?
I'm really hoping so.
Okay.
Because I just don't think people are ready for a real conservative.
Yeah. Well, there you go. I think you just hit. You just answered the question, Jenny, and thank you for being completely honest. You don't think people are ready for a real, real conservative.
That's part of it, but you have to be able to sell it. And to me, Ted Cruz is not selling it based on what I've seen.
Yeah. All right, Jenny, great call.
Okay, that's because somebody else is getting all the frickin' attention.
Yeah, well.
Hey, that's the real world.
That is the real world.
Just because if Trump wasn't in this race, I don't think that all of a sudden Cruz would be Mr. Charisma and being able to sell it. He is who he is.
I believe this. If Trump had not been in this race, I believe you would see Jeb Bush at the top of the polls.
Or Rubio.
Would, once again, we'd have to vote for him.
Yep. Yeah, well, it is what it is. We've got to pick the lesser of two evils. So, I know, it's a shame, Jenny. One of these years, we won't have to do that, but this is probably going to be another one of those years.
I know it, and you know what? We got to do it because we had voter fraud last time, I'm sure of it. And too many people stayed home.
Yeah.
And we weren't the ones that did, but too many Christians stayed home because they didn't want a Mormon and, you know, I'm not voting for a pastor. I was voting for a president.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Well, great call, Jenny. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Have a good one.
Yep.
All right. Let's take call.
Gary, before we take the call, I've got the ultimate ticket. Okay, you ready? This is the presidential ticket. Okay. Bernie Sanders, Barney Fink. We would have an old communist scarecrow and a retarded Elmer Fudd. Can you imagine having to listen to those two for 4+ years?
No.
Day in and day out?
No, I couldn't. But you know, it would make our job very easy, wouldn't it?
That's for sure.
Oh, my gosh. All right, let's take a call from Ed in Ypsilanti. Ed, welcome to the show. I knew we had to say the magic word and you'd be on the line.
We knew we'd draw you out.
Well, I had to call in. I'm going for the perfecta. This is I've hit every show today. I probably won't be calling into Speaking of Art. There you go.
Hey, you're trying to top Ken in the talk show circuit call-ins, aren't you? Because Ken calls all the shows.
Darn, who's our friend, honey?
I will say this.
Sure, him or Walter.
Yeah, when I listen in the mornings, we have probably the most active people in Southeast Michigan here because
calling national radio shows.
I hear Angry Tom. I hear Walter. I hear all kinds of guys. I hear Ken on all kinds of different shows, and sometimes even on other stations. I'm like, wait a minute, man! So we have, you know, kudos to our listeners. I think we have the smartest listeners and most active listeners in the country right here in Southeast Michigan. I really do. So go ahead, Adam. Sorry to interrupt you.
What was funny? Somebody on Facebook on Bennett, a post Bennett had on Angry Tom, and I were both commented on there, and somebody said, "Are you Angry Tom?" And then somebody else to my reply said, "Are you Ed?" And somebody further down said, "I like listening to Angry Tom, but Ed's so bland."
Well, there you go. So what do you got, Ed? Give us.
Well, basically, I think that there is a symbiotic relationship, it's obvious, between Trump and Fox. They need each other, you know?
And yeah.
I actually made it a point to watch the last debate because Trump wasn't there, not because I'm anti-Trump, but because I wanted to see what effect his absence would have.
I can see
on
that.
The debate.
Yeah, I wanted to.
I have him there, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I wanted to watch it, but I just, for me, I was like, you know what, I'm going to prove a point, even though my little viewing doesn't matter. I did not watch it. I did watch as much as I could on outtakes afterward, you know.
So that was a vote, not watching it. That was a Nielsen vote.
Yes, yes.
Okay, I understand that. But me, I wanted to see what would happen. I wanted to see it from my own eyes. I mean, I didn't watch the whole thing. Who can watch the whole thing? I mean, there's life. But I did tune into quite a bit of it, and I liked what I saw. And, you know, you've seen my comment before, Thick. I made it to Matt. Wouldn't it be nice if Fox would host the primaries? Then maybe Trump would sit them out.
Yeah, yeah, well. But then again, you'd end up with Hillary or Bernie, so there you go.
Oh, well, you say so. Unlike Jenny, I think Trump could do it. I like everything Jenny said, by the way, but I think Trump could do it. And unlike Jenny, I think we do want a conservative. We proved that with Ronald. You know,
yeah.
Ronald Maximus.
Wait a minute,
did want to. We've been saying this for years now. Oh, if we could just get a true conservative, America would vote for a true. Now we're saying they won't?
Now, hey, back up here, Ed. You said you think Trump can do it.
You meant Cruz.
You meant Cruz, right?
Sorry about that.
Okay, because you're not a Trump person, and Jenny didn't say she thought that Trump could do it. She didn't even say Cruz could do it. She said she hoped so, and she didn't sound extremely confident.
Yeah. Not the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll know after Monday whether Cruz is in it. Here's what Brandon and I were talking earlier. If Cruz does not get Iowa, this is probably his strongest possible state to win, I think. If he doesn't take Iowa, I think the writing's on the wall.
Yeah, there's no hope in New Hampshire.
Look who's taken Iowa before, you know?
That's true.
Santorum and Huckabee.
Yeah, but
I don't see them as numbers 43 or 44 or whatever, you know?
Yeah, but the reason Iowa is important is because New Hampshire's right after it.
Yeah,
and
the momentum. And,
yeah.
That's a contrast.
You,
that's a contrasting vote. One's evangelical and conservative, and the other one's New England, you know?
Yeah. Well, you would think then that Iowa will go to the most conservative candidate.
Iowa is a publicity thing because it's the first caucus. I mean, it's the first... You know, it draws so much attention because it's the first one. In the big scheme of things, it means nothing. However, if Cruz can't win there, and then he has to go to New Hampshire and get slaughtered by Trump there.
You're right.
His
You're
campaign right. is going to have a whole negative perception.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think if Cruz came in a strong second?
Well, then you're okay.
Yeah, technically speaking, I would expect Cruz to be number one. So I'm thinking it's going to be Trump Cruz or Cruz Trump, I don't really want to put money on either one, but Cruz definitely needs to be number two, and frankly, I think he should be number one if he wants to continue.
Yeah, if he's super strong second, well then I think he'll carry on, and who knows what will happen, but he needs to win in Iowa.
Yeah, what else you got, Ed? Anything?
I think any one of our candidates can take it once Hillary's in jail. I mean, these 22 emails, the Obama administration just coming out and saying, okay, those were wrong for you. We can't release those. Obviously, that's prima facie. They shouldn't have been on her server. Somebody's got to go to jail.
Yeah, we're going to get into that.
I agree.
And I'm going to yell about this.
Yeah, you're going to have to call back on that one.
No. I got to get on with all this at the gun range.
Yeah.
See ya.
All right, take care, Ed. Thanks.
Bye.
Let's see if we can get Ken in here. Ken, welcome to the show.
Ken.
Yeah, just calling to say that your program definitely has the most informed listener audience, the most educated on the issues out there. We pay attention to what's really going on. And I just wanted to say that I'm still holding firm to voting in the primary for Donald Trump, not because I think he's a conservative, but I'm looking beyond that issue. I'm looking at the fact that those who are true, devout, faithful followers of Islam are at war with this country. And I'm looking for a guy who's a patriot, who's the biggest bulldog that I can find as far as filling the shoes of the commander-in-chief of the armed forces, who's going to do what is necessary to protect this country. The one issue, and I think I might have even brought this up on your program, that really bugs me when it comes to the other candidates running for president on the Republican ticket, and that is when Trump made the comment that we need to temporarily halt Muslim immigration into America in order to get our national security in line. All the other candidates, and I've heard this brought up on other national shows, all the other candidates were against this. And that was a really red flag to me. I look at other candidates, and I just see them, when it comes to protecting the homeland, as being wishy-washy.
Mm-hmm.
Do I agree with everything that Trump says? No. But the other issues to me don't matter. Because I look at it this. Okay, if we lose this war, and I believe it's truly going to escalate, all these other issues don't mean a thing.
Now, Ken, you fascinate me, and I always give you the kudos and everything, but this is a question I've been wanting to ask you for a while, and I think you kind of answered my question, but you have, stated very clearly that you're a Lutheran, like an Orthodox Lutheran,
Yeah.
And Trump is by no means an evangelical type Christian, and him saying he's a Christian and all this stuff, I'm not really buying any of that. I don't think he's an anti-Christian. I just think he's more of a, you know, for political expediency, he's kind of bringing out the whole Christian thing to, you know, for that purpose. So me having said that, that's just my opinion. You know, I could be wrong. I'm not inside the guy's head. You have kind of changed your tune a little bit as far as someone like Trump, who is not that religious from the way things look, right? I mean, because before, that was kind of a litmus test for you.
Well, no, I really don't see a change on my part. What I look at is this. Donald Trump has identified himself, and no one has been able to prove him wrong as having a Presbyterian background. Now, I, as an Orthodox Lutheran, am a Trinitarian. I believe in the Trinity, the triune God. Presbyterians also believe in the Holy Trinity. Do I believe Donald Trump is practicing the faith? Maybe, maybe not. Again, no one's proven him wrong. Now, people could
but I would think that would be
heard this brought up on national radio.
But wait a minute, I would think that would be important to you that he is practicing it. You know, regardless of what he says he is and what his background is.
Practicing it.
Okay, so you answered my question. I was under the misguided perception that that was all very important to you as a Christian.
Yeah, and I think Ken is prioritizing, like I am.
Yeah.
I mean, Donald Trump is not the most conservative guy. Nobody's saying he is, but he's focusing on the three factors for me that I think are most important. Number one, immigration, national security,
yes,
and trade.
Yeah, me
Those
too.
Those are the ones that are important to me, and I could all these other issues that people are talking about, he's not conservative, I don't care. I care about the survival of the country.
Right.
And again, I want to win the war.
Yeah. Yes. No, and that's part of the national security and immigration.
Yeah.
But in the last election, and you took a lot of heat and abuse for this with Romney being a Mormon,
well, Romney,
and you
Romney
stayed home.
Romney is not a Trinitarian. And people have to understand, because I've heard this brought up. There again, I am a Trinitarian. Trump, at least his background, would be of a Trinitarian. Mormons are not Trinitarian.
Okay, what if Trump had come out and said, you know what, I have a Presbyterian background, but I'm agnostic. What would your thought on voting for him then be?
Well, if he was clear on that, then I couldn't vote for him.
You could not?
I could not.
And you stay home if you got the nomination?
Well,
or, I mean, you'd vote for a third-party person.
Yeah. All I can do is base my vote on what I know. And so based on what I know, there again, no one has come out forward. And if anybody has proof, I invite them to do it.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Well, good. You're standing your ground then.
And the reason I bring all this up, Ken, is not to grill you. It's because you call in a lot of the shows, and people know who you are. And I think the questions I asked are probably questions that a lot of our listeners have had, because you know you're kind of a, you know, you're like a little celebrity out there, Ken.
Ken,
if you can remember, before the last Republican primary, I was very clear. I said that as a Trinitarian, I can only vote for Trinitarians, and that's why I couldn't vote for Romney. And I haven't changed my view on that, and there again, I'm basing my position on only what I know in front of me, not what is not shown.
Right.
And so as long as no one can prove to me before March 8th, which is the Michigan primary, that Trump is a Trinitarian, even though he might not be a completely practicing Trinitarian, I'll vote for him.
Okay.
Okay.
Great.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Ken. Appreciate the call.
Appreciate it, Ken.
Take care.
All right. Yeah. You too.
All right. So interesting.
Yeah.
You know, you're right. Ken is a celebrity because I hear him on different stations, different shows all the time, and he's the same all the time. He does not moderate his views.
Very consistent.
He's
and
very
you have
consistent.
To give the kudos and respect to Ken for that, because a lot of people they're all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah. Unlike us, well, that is like us. We're all over. What does Theron
say?
Heart of the kitchen, the kitchen mouse, or whatever. Yeah, we just jump around.
Well, we're all over the place. We're consistent in our political views, but we're all over the place as far as our, I don't know, ADD?
We are consistently ADD on the show. Okay, when we come back, we're going to hit Hillary and hit her hard with these emails. So come back to us. Call in 734-822-1600. See you on the other side.
We will focus on Hillary.
Yes.
People are always on the move, driving to work, getting the groceries, hauling the kids to soccer. How do they keep up to date? They listen to Wham Talk 1600, just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham for intelligent conversation with hosts like Bill Bennett, Glenn Beck, and Theron X. They stay tuned in for Fox updates, and they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 and advertise your business on Wham Talk 1600.
This is Fox News Alert. I'm Lillian Wu. We're learning that all three violent inmates who broke out of a Southern California jail 1 week ago are now back in custody. Orange County Sheriff says the two remaining fugitive inmates were captured in San Francisco. The first man turned himself in yesterday. 20-year-old Jonathan Tu and 37-year-old Hussein Nayeri caught today. The reason they were in jail in the first place.
One was charged with murder, the other with kidnapping, torture, and mayhem.
Fox Radio's Jessica Rosenthal. Presidential candidates vying for votes ahead of the Iowa caucuses.
Ted Cruz now seems to be spending about equal time going after Donald Trump and Marco Rubio, really trying to stop any momentum that Rubio may have gotten from a strong debate performance on Thursday. And this morning, Rubio responded to the new heat from Cruz, saying he thinks the Texas senator is getting desperate.
Fox's Peter Ducey in Iowa. Fox News. We report. You decide.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
Washtenaw County Sheriff Emergency Services, in conjunction with the National Weather Service, Detroit Pontiac, is offering Skywarn spotter training free of charge to anyone 18 years of age or older interested in being trained in severe weather identification, protection, and reporting procedures. The course is 1.5 hours long, and identification codes are issued to all who complete the program. Training will take place Thursday, February 25th from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at Saline Alternative High School, Liberty School Auditorium, 7265 Saline Ann Arbor Road, located 1 mile north of U.S. 12 in Saline. March 19th, which is Saturday from 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. at Washtenaw Street Education Center Auditorium, 500 Washington Street in Chelsea. And on Wednesday, March 23rd from 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. at University of Michigan North Campus Research Complex, building number 10, 1600 Huron Parkway in Ann Arbor. Check-in begins 30 minutes before posted start times. Class sizes are limited, so you must pre-register either on the web at emergency.ewashtenaw.org or by calling 734-973-4900. Provide your name, phone number, class date, and verify that you are at least 18 years of age. Note that Washtenaw County has adopted a 2-year Skywarn training cycle. Spotters trained last year are not required to attend retraining until next year.
You've been listening to the Wham Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community at whamradio.com or write to Brandon Drake, COWAAM, 4230 Packard Road, Ann Arbor, 48108. Wham! Talk 1600. In touch with your community. You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thanks for tuning in to catch another edition of The Drift with myself and Brandon Drake joining me in studio.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey. Hey there. Hey now.
Hey there.
Hey now.
So,
oh, I'm ripping that off from somebody. Hey now.
Hey now. Hey now. Wasn't that a song? Who did that song, Derek?
Hey now. Something Church, the Australian group from the 80s.
Yeah.
Don't dream it.
Yes.
Over.
Rocking the Big Chair. Songs from the Big Chair.
No, that was Tears for Fears.
Oh, that was Tears for Fears.
Okay. Something Church is the name of the Australian band.
Hmm.
Derek will look it up.
He's looking at it right now. Look at it. He just flying fingers. There he goes. Not those kind of fingers. Yes. Okay, so let's talk.
He's like Peabody and Sherman. He's investigating.
Hello, Sherman. That's a great cartoon, dude. Or maybe, what was the other one? Tennessee Tuxedo.
Oh, that was my favorite. Tennessee Tuxedo and Chumley.
Come along, Chumley. Let's go see Mr. Whoopi.
The Tennessee.
Okay, so we're done with the Clinton and the Trump thing. We're going to find out. There's no sense discussing any more Iowa caucus.
Yeah.
We're going to know on Monday night, Tuesday morning. We'll know who won that, and that should be very interesting. That should put a lot of arguments to rest, I think. But we had another document dump last night, Friday, and did they do that in the Bush administration too, all these late-night Friday document dumps? Why is it all of a sudden okay to just dump stuff on a Friday night when the news is pretty much done for the weekend?
You know? That's a good point, yeah.
I just don't get it. It's incredible to me that they can do it. But, Derek, let's start with track one. I want to get this one out of the way. This is the State Department talking about the classified emails, and if you don't think they're still protecting Hillary, they sure as heck seem to be trying. Let's go with track one about these latest emails and what they found in Hillary's possession.
I can confirm that as part of this monthly FOIA production of former Secretary Clinton's emails, the State Department will be denying in full 7 email chains found in 22 documents representing 37 pages. The documents are being upgraded at the request of the intelligence community because they contain a category of top secret information. These documents were not marked classified at the time that they were sent. We have worked closely with our interagency partners on this matter, and this dialogue with the interagency is exactly how the process is supposed to work. As to whether they were classified at the time they were sent, the State Department in the FOIA process is focusing on whether they need to be classified today. Questions about classification at the time they were sent are being and will be handled separately by the State Department.
Okay, so to your point that you made to me earlier, and I want you to talk about this. If they're top secret now, why weren't they marked top secret before?
Yeah, they didn't magically change in reality from not top secret to now top secret. They were always top secret. Now, the question is, did somebody in the intelligence community mislabel them? That's one of the questions. If they weren't classified properly, who in the intelligence community is being fired? Who is going to jail for this? This gross incompetence or outright traitorous act? Okay, so that's part of it. You don't just allow everybody to get off scot-free and say, everyone's clean, no problem, nothing to see here. No, there's a lot to see here. And somebody has to be held accountable. Somebody or some people have to be held accountable. Now, this doesn't excuse Hillary Clinton whatsoever. This personal server and emails, she shouldn't have had any of this going on. So it's almost like a smokescreen of, well, they weren't classified at the time that she had. The fact is that she shouldn't have had any of this stuff on a personal server. Am I correct?
That is
correct. Am I like totally just out of the off base on this?
No. The other point for me is, you're the Secretary of State. You've been a U.S. Senator. You've been the wife of a U.S. President. If you do not understand what is probably classified, even if it's not marked as classified, you are completely unqualified to be the United States President.
As proven once again in her political career as to how incompetent she is or how arrogant she is to commit criminal acts thinking that she is excluded from any scrutiny because she's a Clinton.
Yeah.
I mean, this woman, Giuliani came out a week or so ago on one of the talk shows, and he wasn't saying this for political reasons. I know people are going, oh, how can you say that? He's a Republican. No, he is an experienced, very successful prosecutor, and he laid out the legal reasons that the only result that can happen in this is for her to be indicted.
Yes.
There's no possibility that she cannot be indicted based on the evidence. This has nothing to do with politics. This is pure and simple legal violations, facts on the table, clear as the day that she should be indicted. Now, I think, too, if she is indicted, that Barack Obama will pardon her and she never serves a day in jail. We all know that, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. I mean, here's the thing. If they don't indict her for 1,300 emails that are on her server that shouldn't be, they've been mishandled. If they don't indict her for these 22, you'll never indict anybody else. It's done. You just open the door for every federal employee to violate the code, right?
Well, it depends on the meaning of the word is.
Crowded House was the Australian man.
Crowded House.
Here's how you.
Church, I thought it was something
crowded
church.
Crowded House, church. There you go, dude. See, your brain is working. You got a funny brain.
It's weird and wacky.
Let's take a call from Walter, who's been waiting patiently. Walter, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. I had to call. I heard maybe you guys and Ed make me famous for a moment.
Yeah, well, there you go. See, I know if we called your name out, you'd be on the horn in a minute. So there you go, Walter. What do you got?
Hey, man. Hillary has committed crimes worthy of death, but it's amazing. If she don't get convicted, thrown in prison, and fed a bucket of unclean chitlins the rest of her life, we might as well have a memorial service at Nixon's grave to apologize to him for being, you know, thrown out of office.
Oh, yeah. I mean, honestly, what Nixon did was a tenth or the 20th of what Hillary has done, and yet nobody is standing up and saying this woman needs to go to jail.
She's the 21st century Ethel Rosenberg.
Yes.
I mean, not too far off.
Yeah. Yeah, it's absolutely insane that there is not a clamoring from the masses to have this woman tossed in the clink.
And that's why I have so little faith in that. You know, we've talked about this, how you can try to educate people through conversation. You can, 80% are just going to not want to hear it. You know, they know who they're going to vote for. They know what their thoughts and feelings and beliefs are. You can't penetrate that, period. Maybe 20% you can have a conversation with, and they're going to like, wow, I didn't know that. And you think they're coming around. But of that 20%, I'm convinced 80 or 90% will default right back to their original beliefs the next day.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I guess you guys are angry about saying that, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
We're always angry.
Well,
we're either angry or either yelling or laughing.
Yeah, and we talked about this before, too. There was a recent poll that showed, like, I can't remember, Brandon, what was I saying to you earlier? Like 50% of Democrats would still vote for Hillary even if she were indicted.
Yeah, see, there you go.
I mean,
that's because they got the morals of a Detroit alley dog and a heart of the devil.
And the stupidity of a stump.
Yeah.
What else you got, Walter? Anything?
I hate to rain on our parade. You know, I was thinking about what Dave Rowan and me said a few weeks ago about strategically we think Donald Trump would be the best pick. Because let me say something, and don't you get offended. I said this on Dave Rowan. You know, you guys know I'm the last person to say anything racially or the race card. You know, I'm the 4% black guy, you know, that voted against Obama. You know that. But a lot of people, minorities and stuff like that. Now, I know that Ted Cruz will be my first pick as far as well-rounded Christian man. He don't compromise like the rest of them, or the most of them do. But it seems like to me that more minorities can relate to Donald Trump. And they look at Ted Cruz as just one more white guy to add to the list.
Yeah.
Say that.
Yeah.
Can't relate to him. But to me, he's good, but... Man, you got to come down with all these politicians, man. They got to come down, break it down, and talk simple, everyday layman's terms about.
Yeah, I think you just hit it, Walter. That's exactly what it is. Walter. Trump, for being a billionaire, does come down to our level, doesn't he?
Walter, you don't offend me at all with that. I think you're totally dead on. I think it's not only being able to speak to the masses, the electorate, in a language they can understand, which is usually straightforward, simple, you know, language that, I shouldn't say simple because that makes it sound like everyone's so stupid, which, well, I guess that's true too. But he's able to speak in a clear, and it's becoming a cliche, non-politically correct way with charisma. The man just oozes of charisma even when he's not trying to sound charismatic. Whereas to me, a Cruz, again, I'm going to be nice and say it this way, he's not selling it, at least for me. He's not selling it.
Exactly. They got to quit using even the well-meaning ones like Ben Carson, who may be slowly waking up out of his coma. a little fire, you know, he maybe got ignited with a little fire, a little spark, you know what I'm saying? But they can't even relate to him. They look at him as a white, black guy. They sound too predictable, man. They sound too cliché-ish, using terms like, we're going to cut the deficit, get like they're trying to fulfill our wish list.
Yeah.
They sound too good. You got to have a charisma, maybe a Barack Obama, even though he's a 100% liar, but you got to even sound like you can relate to them.
Obama has the ability to put on the charm and the, like during the Romney debates. I mean, Obama, he sounded at times when he had to think on his feet and counter with some kind of a sarcastic remark. It worked.
Yeah.
You know, he was. Here's the thing, too. I think I may have lost my train of thought on this, but okay. Back to Trump again, and we're trying not to do the whole Trump thing during the whole show, but you triggered something in me, Walter, and that is that even the, like, all the debates, but the first debate, Trump came out and said he didn't prep for this and get there a day early and 2 days earlier or whatever. He says that's all. He says you got to be yourself.
Yeah, he's speaking from his heart.
He's speaking from his heart. He's not going through this pre-programmed canned response thing that you're voicing, Walter, that you detest so much, that minorities that you know aren't buying into, the others that are sounding so canned and pre-programmed. Trump is being, it appears, is just being himself and being real, and people are liking that. Am I off?
Carly Farina, oh my good, she's they're almost on the top of the list, down in polished and pious and predictable.
Yes, yes.
And they say something, so we got to get out of this thing. Well, that's my candidate. Man, half of us, we so divided in the Republican Party, we wouldn't know a good candidate if God dropped them out of the clouds on top of our bald head, man.
On the other end of the spectrum, what I just described about, what we're all describing about Trump as far as charisma and speaking from the heart and not planning all this crap out to say, I think Bernie is doing the exact same thing.
Yep.
And, gee, who's leading in the polls to a large degree?
For the Democrats.
Bernie!
Yep.
Because Hillary Clinton, all her troubles that she's got, she sounds like a Stepford wife programmed, just...
Yeah.
There's nothing radiates from her that excites anybody. I can't imagine.
Yeah.
And even though he looked like a mad scientist, a demon possessed version of Colonel Sanders, some young people still gonna vote for him because he's like Rand Paul, one of them. I call the dope man. Gonna give the young college kids all they dope, and he's gonna take 90% of their income. And that's what those candidates need to be saying. If you vote for that clown, those checks going to be cut 90%, most likely. He ain't just talking about the rich. He's talking about everybody across the board.
Yeah,
and there ain't going to be no jobs. They're going to go out to another country.
Yeah, there was a report yesterday that said 6 million jobs will go away if Bernie Sanders puts his tax plan into effect.
Anybody with half a brain knows that when you have a Bernie Sanders-type platform and program, that it's always a disaster. In Bernie Sanders' mind, the unintended consequences will always occur. Losing jobs. It's just natural economics. You can't violate those laws.
Yeah. All right, Walter. Well, great points, man. You really educated me because you hit something that I've been trying to describe, and I just couldn't, and you hit it on the head. They're coming down and talking to us as human beings at our level, I guess.
And not just minorities, all of us.
Yeah, all of us. Yeah.
That's why you and I will make a better candidate than most of those clowns, man. But, next time, Carl, I'll ask you guys what you thought about Donald Trump on the morning show this week.
I didn't catch him because I go to work so early, but let me know. Send us an email, Walter, or call us next week on that one.
Okay.
All right, take care.
Thanks.
All right, so I want to get to this next track because this is FBI Director Comey talking to the Congressional Investigation Committee. And when you read the article, and these are all at thedailydrift.com. I always forget to say this right at the beginning of the show. Go to thedailydrift.com. It's the news you need to know. And I put all these links up there for you to see and share on Facebook and Twitter. So get out there and do that. But when I first saw this article, before I read it, I was like, oh, here's this FBI director covering up for Hillary Clinton. Well, listen to it closely, and there's more to it than that. And I think it's a good thing. Derek, you got track two ready? All right, let's play this.
The director of the National Security Agency has said that former Secretary of State Clinton's private email server would be a sought-after target for a foreign intelligence agency. Do you also believe that a foreign intelligence agency, particularly an adversary's, could benefit from acquiring and exploiting sensitive and classified information of a top-level U.S. government official?
Mr. Chairman, I respectfully say that's one I'm not going to comment on. As you know, the FBI is working on a referral given to us by inspectors general in connection with former Secretary Clinton's use of a private email server. As you also know about the FBI, we don't talk about our investigations while we're doing them. This is one I'm following very closely and get briefed on regularly. I'm confident We have the people and the resources to do it in the way I believe we do all our work, which is promptly, professionally, and independently. But I don't want to do anything that would compromise my ability to do it that way by commenting beyond that.
Well, how about answering my generic question, not directed at the specifics of that case, but rather the question of whether you believe that a foreign intelligence agency, particularly in adversaries, could benefit from acquiring and exploiting sensitive and classified information of a top-level U.S. government official?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I hope you'll understand why I don't think it's appropriate for me to answer that. I want to preserve my ability to oversee this investigation in a way that is both in reality independent and fair and is perceived that way. I believe the Bureau is three things. We are competent, we're independent, and we're honest. And I want to make sure the American people have confidence that that's the way we're doing our business. And if I start answering questions like yours, which is a reasonable question, I worry that I could infringe upon that.
He should have said Julian Assange and Edward Snowden already have her server downloaded, all the contents.
Yeah, I took that from him. After I listened to it, and I listened to it twice, I thought, you know what? He's going to charge her, or he's going to have the DOJ charge her, and he does not want to make this sound political when the charges come from the DOJ. And I think Barack Obama doesn't owe Hillary Clinton anything at this point.
If she isn't charged, I would hope that a lot of high-level FBI officials resign.
Yeah.
Because that's happened in the past when political pressure from the top has tried to squelch investigations and that type of thing, where people have either threatened to resign or they have resigned. Yeah.
I guess what we need to look at is you would think Barack would protect her, but what does he have to gain by protecting her? And what does he have to lose? There's nothing bad going to come to Barack. She did this on her own. This is the Obama administration, I think, is free and clear on this one. They've already said it's against our rules to have done it. Now, he should have known that her emails.
Buck stops there.
Yes.
Yeah, with him.
But if I think it's going to fall on her. They'll try and push it on to her underlings for whatever. But I think, you know, that if push comes to shove, he's going to look at Janet Lynch and say, yeah, I think you need to.
Loretta.
Yeah, you're going to have to put the charges in and let it fall where it may. Now, she may never serve. She may get off, blah, blah, blah.
I think Janet Lynch is the gal on Glee. You meant Loretta Lynch, yes. Right? Okay.
What did I say?
You said Janet Lynch.
Janet Lynch. Yeah. Oh, yes. All right, Janet.
That was there like me saying Crowded House was church something.
Church. See, our brains are working.
Crowded
church. I'm working at, what are you saying, dude, that I'm working on Glee, right? At least I didn't say Janet Reno. Sexy Janet Reno.
You remember the Saturday Night Live skit with Will Ferrell doing Janet Reno, the Janet Reno dance party? So anyway, sorry, people.
Is Janet Reno still alive? I think she is.
I think she is, yeah.
She was. I remember giving her a lot of grief.
She's Miami's greatest cougar.
Oh.
So why don't you make like a tree and get out of here?
Oh my goodness!
So, but no, this whole email thing and top secret, not top secret at the time, blah blah blah. It's like, ugh, please, I mean, spare us. It's just getting so painful. Again, it goes back to Hillary's entire history in the political arena.
Lies.
How does she still show her face in public?
Yeah, it's amazing.
She should be out. This is where she should be. Somewhere like in I don't know, Wyoming or Montana. What's the famous ski resort where all the big celebrities with
Vail?
Money go?
No.
Let's say Vail. She should be in Vail in an expensive condo just watching the Home Shopping Network in her living room and not ordering anything because that would be controversial. Just sit there and watch TV all day and leave us alone.
Please. All right, let's take a call from Mike in Ann Arbor. Mike, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
I don't think she'll ever be indicted. She'll never serve. And the reason was today Petraeus was let off the hook, and I think that was done to set the stage for Hillary to walk, period.
Yeah, I heard that, Mike, but I was driving, so I was a little discombobulated.
Yeah.
What did they do? Did they give him his job back?
No, basically they're not going to take his pension away. They're not going to take his rank away. And basically all he's done is 2 years probation and $100,000 fine. So this is a get out of jail card for Hillary Clinton, and don't forget she had 700 FBI files on her desk in the White House. The Clintons have the dirt on an awful, awful lot of people, and for her to go down, a lot of other people are going to go down. And by the way, I have a new front runner in the Republican election who is going to take it all in a landslide, John Kasich. Itch. I'm just kidding. This is for Ed, so he can pass it on to his buddy Bill Bennett, who doesn't know how to pronounce the name right.
Kasich?
Yeah, it's Kasich. The guy doesn't even know his own nationality. But anyways, Loretta, Thunder Thighs Loretta is never going to indict her because the Clintons have too much garbage on everybody else, and these people don't want to fall down. There's some way or another she's going to get out of this whole thing. But I think Donald Trump is a shoo-in, and as far as I'm concerned, I think that Cruz hurt himself badly.
Yeah, I think so too. I think he tried to pick a fight with the bigger dog, and he lost. So we'll see, though. Tuesday morning, we'll know.
What's all the talk about Cruz? I've heard this for months and months, how he's a debating champion. He's this and that in the public spotlight of conversation. And the little I've seen of him, I've never witnessed that. He's never inspired me, ever.
What I've seen of Cruz is he's got a great memory. He's a great legal genius. But if you got, you know, in today's society, looks have a lot to do with it.
Yep.
Class has a lot to do with it. Your presentation has a lot to do with it. And as far as I'm concerned, from the get-go, Donald Trump has got it nailed down. Like you said earlier, he talks the people's talk, the people's language. He's on the outside. And frankly, I don't give a damn what his religion is. I don't give a darn if he believes in the Trinity. I don't give a darn. All I care about today, and we all should care about today, is we need to be nationalists. We need to put the American flag up from the ground, raise it up the flagpole to the top, and dare anybody else to touch that flag or to spit on that flag like Obama has. And Donald Trump, as far as I can see, is the only guy that's got the balls to do it.
Okay.
Hey, Mike, real quick, say something in Croatian for me.
Ja sam sada otišao i jest i moj stomak je dupkom pun i idem kući i kad dođem kući idem spavat.
Excellent. I always wanted to ask you that, so I finally remembered.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for the call. I got one more call in here. Thanks, Mike. Let's see if we can get Rob from Clarkston on. Rob, go ahead.
Yeah, the previous caller was right. Hillary's crimes are much greater than this. This is really a throw me in the briar patch kind of deal. She would like everybody to concentrate on the emails because that's the least of her crimes. It's a process crime, and she'll be able to skate from that through legal machinations. And she probably will not be indicted. And she doesn't care if she doesn't care if all the FBI quits. That makes no difference to her. And Obama will protect her because of their mutual criminality.
Yeah.
Well, I agree with her arrogance that she probably wouldn't care one way or the other if the entire FBI quit, but I think that would matter to the people. Even that,
well,
I think
people,
would...
But the people can't seem to do too much. The people elected a Republican Congress that did nothing. The people have not acted in totality yet. Her crime of selling the uranium to the Russians...
Yeah,
is a much greater crime.
Yeah,
and I hate the comparison of David Petraeus to Hillary Clinton. Petraeus's record and background, I know what he did was, like, unexcusable, but, you know, the decades of service versus Hillary Clinton's service, no comparison.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Rob.
Can the Petraeus thing really be real? Is her name really Broadwell?
I love that. I always thought that, too.
All right, well, thanks for the call, Rob. Yeah, appreciate
she's
it.
She's kind of a hottie. I mean, you know.
All right. All right, until next week, go to thedailydrift.com, stay informed, and let's see what happens.
And I will be back next week.
Good. See you next week.